Hello, Tuesday, April 6th, big show.
Huge show today.
Wait until you learn about this doctor we learned about today.
Oh my God, the standard bearer in the NFL now.
Might change everything forever.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Mark Sanchez, Charles Davis, all the boys, and all of you for choosing to listen to this show. If you enjoy it by the end of it, please be a friend and tell a friend. If not, just act like it never happened.
Mm-hmm. Just keep moving.
Yeah, just keep moving. Let's get to the show, shall we, Ty?
Yep.
And we have a new college basketball national champion.
Oh, yeah!
Big shout out to the Baylor Bears down there. Oh. Congrats to Baylor winning the national championship right here in Indianapolis. Now, first of all, shout out to Indiana making this whole thing happen. Yeah. Okay, great work by the city down here. The hospitality, the Visit Indy folks, the Indy Sports Corporation was able to build a bubble with college kids being involved for 3 to 4 weeks here. One game was missed because of COVID. Shout out to Indiana.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, shout out to Indiana. Combine's coming now because Indianapolis is ready to do a thing. The city hosted restaurants. I don't think we had a massive surge. I think there was actual mask mandate lifted today. I feel like Indianapolis did a great job and proud to be a citizen.
Yeah. Right here.
That being said, you know, the problem we have here on this particular show is this particular sports dude show, which there are a lot of sports dude shows. This is one of them. When you talk about college basketball, you know, maybe you can get a little bit excited whenever you see a guy with a Fu Manchu mustache and you see a team that had never lost, just was undefeated, and you see a point guard that I legitimately believe could actually be a college football quarterback with the way he moves and his vision and his style, and he's just unbelievable, and you see a team live and in person like I did, and you don't think to yourself, wow, this Gonzaga team's unbelievable. But while watching them live at Lucas Oil Stadium at the Final Four, I think because of my infatuation with this Gonzaga team, I failed to watch the actual ass beating of Houston that Baylor gave out there.
Yeah.
And I believe in the first play, somebody jumped over another human. I believe there was a couple plays where they were just getting hot and Baylor was just burying Houston. And I remember thinking, oh, this Baylor team's good. But my mindset the entire time was, can't wait to see Gonzaga. Now, at that moment, whenever I was watching that, I did not know that Miley Cyrus was potentially coming.
Sure.
If I did know a Miley Cyrus concert was happening, I think my initial thought would have been like, okay, these dudes are awesome. Can't wait to see Miley. Then
right,
can't wait to see the Gonzaga Bulldogs. So I want to let everybody know in Waco that I personally, I think I speak for many here who got infatuated by the Gonzaga. I was sleeping on the Baylor Bears. And what we watched last night was an absolute ass beating. Now, there was no chance I was going to stay awake for that second half, whether or not Gonzaga was playing well or not. And I was going to finish it in the morning. But it did feel as if from the very beginning of that game, it looked like a very different Gonzaga Bulldog team. The quarterback, point guard that just banged home the game winner as the clock expired. 2 fouls in what, the first 4 seconds of the game?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's out of the game. Timmy, there was no flexing early from Timmy. Timmy looked confused. His mustache looked like it was a little bit out there. The Fu Manchu didn't look as good as it had in the past. This Baylor team beat the shit out of the Gonzaga Bulldogs, the team that in my eyes, as they were losing by 5-10, I said, hey, let's enjoy this Gonzaga. This is the greatest college basketball team of all time. Let's enjoy. As they were losing by 5, live bet. I doubled down on my shit. I got Gonzaga +4 at one point. I was like, let me bet on that.
Yeah.
I just knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I woke up this morning, watched that second half. They did not come.
It did not come.
There was like 6 to 7 potential runs that were supposed to be for Gonzaga where Timmy would get a wide open layup or a shot would happen. It was like, okay, here's what happens. This is how college basketball works, by the way. One team gets up, the other team gets a run, and then it's either tied or the other team goes, and then that's how college basketball is. That's why March Madness is so fantastic. It doesn't matter who it is. If they're completely out of the game, there's a chance they're going to get blown out, okay? But there's also a very large chance that madness is about to come, and this team is is going to come out of nowhere. And somehow, some way last night, the Baylor Bears out of Waco, which is the home of Chip and Joanna Gaines.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay, Magnolia Farms Diner. Okay, also Dr. Pepper.
Ooh. Yeah, Dr. 23 flavors.
Yeah, Dr. Mm-hmm. Pepper's from down there. Even the little doc is from down there.
Oh,
okay. And the and also that one documentary.
Mm-hmm. David Koresh, the Branch Davidians.
Potentially. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of great things in Baylor and in Waco. And last night, their basketball team, who people have been talking about since the beginning of the season as being one of the greatest basketball teams of all time, alongside Gonzaga. That's why this national championship was something that everybody was desiring, because it was like, these two teams fucking got it. That Baylor team, when Gonzaga would make a run, they just put their foot right. It was like the Christmas story. Shoot, you know, when Ralphie climbs up the slide and he doesn't tell him about the Red Ryder BB gun or whatever, whatever the fuck its name is, and Santa just puts his foot right on his forehead and just pushes him down. That's what Baylor did to Gonzaga every run that was supposed to happen. They're just like, nah. Excuse me, we got something incredibly dope that's about to happen. They were splat, step back, pull up, three, splash, some dunks, some insane. I mean, it was awesome to watch. It was a game that could not keep me awake at the time it was running, but this morning as I caught up on the whole thing, I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic to watch that Baylor team, and maybe I didn't, you know, take in how good Baylor was this year because I was blinded by Gonzaga. That Baylor team's coming back next year.
Ooh.
So is that Gonzaga team. And by the way, if I'm Baylor, I'm saying, hey, rollover. What we just did was worth two national championships because there was none last year. I'm thinking about it, you know. Like UCF had that undefeated season or whatever, and they called themselves national championships, had a parade and everything. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm Baylor, I'm saying we had the same team last year, okay? Rollover.
Back-to-back.
Basically, we're going back-to-back. Next year, we're looking for a three-peat. Okay, I just want to let you know, next year, we're looking for a three-peat at this point. Gonzaga's coming back. Good news for college basketball. We'll care only when March Madness happens, but it was a lot of fun. Gumpy, you predicted Baylor was going to win. You got paid because of that bet yesterday. I called you negative, said you were trying to bring me down, but what did you see from that Baylor team? Just a bunch of dogs out there, huh?
So before COVID hit, Baylor looked like that the whole season. Then COVID hit, and they kind of had a patch where they went down. But against Houston, that's how they were playing all year before they had the COVID outbreak, and they just carried it over last night.
It was awesome.
Athletes.
They
ran them out of the gym.
It was awesome to watch. They really did. Mm-hmm. And Foxy said this earlier, and he said, I'm not going to say it live, but it was like, well, why, Foxy? He was like, well, I don't want to seem like I'm, an entitled kid or something like that. He said, yeah, that was classic private school. Okay, wins championship, goes down into the public schools, plays against, gets their asses beat.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Gonzaga, private school.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Baylor is a public school.
That's right.
So it is exactly what it is. But I mean, I don't know why I didn't fall in love with that Baylor. They got a mullet on that squad.
Oh, yeah.
They got a guy with Thamba. It seemed like Thamba was able to take his arm and just shoot that thing out, swat a ball, and then bring it right back.
Uh-huh.
The step back, I feel like I would have fallen in love with that team a long time ago. So I feel like I missed the boat. And a lot of people did, by the way.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's why Gonzaga was favored by 4.5 points in the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
And they never came fucking close. By the way, they were losing by 4.5 when the game started, and they never got back.
No.
Not a single once did they ever get back. What a game. At Boston Connor, the NFL also cooking up right now. Hey, Sam Darnold out of the AFC East. He's been traded to the NFC South for three picks to the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers have come out openly and said, we are allowing and we're asking Teddy Bridgewater that if he wants to go test the trade market, which, by the way, going to cost whatever team that gets him $18 million, $10 million guaranteed if you trade for him right now. Who knows how that market looks? But the Carolina Panthers said, well, hey, Teddy, you want to go get traded, go ahead and do your thing. If not, all good. But they did pick up Sam Darnold's fifth-year option, which is $18.8 million guaranteed, basically. Sam Darnold's now the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. It appears Teddy Bridgewater is going to be the backup. Always need a great backup, so I guess Carolina feels good about this whole thing. Doesn't feel like they picked up the $18.8 million guaranteed next year for him not to be the starter, but hey,
yeah.
Who knows?
Never know.
Who knows? Dumber things have happened or wilder things have happened in the NFL. But if you look at that NFC South now, AFC East, much different picture, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Zach Wilson's about to get dropped into New York City.
Yeah.
Who knows how that whole thing's going to turn out. But you look at the NFC South now, once had Drew Brees, Cam Newton, Matt Ryan. All three of those guys were in MVP conversations at some point. And obviously, down in Tampa, before Jameis, it was just kind of like, who knows? And then Jameis gets in there, he was the guy. Now Tom Brady's there. You look around, that's a – Jameis is now – or Taysom, but Jameis or Taysom, I guess, he $160 million deal.
Yeah.
He is going to – he's in New Orleans. You go to Carolina, you got Sam Darnold, okay?
Yikes.
And you go to Atlanta, you got either Matt Ryan or if they draft a quarterback at four, which people are saying they're probably not going to. They're actually trying to trade out of the number four overall pick, I guess, is initial reports. And then you got Tom Brady still sitting there. Mm-hmm. Wild how the league is changing but still staying the same if you do kind of view that thing. So Sam Darnold, Tom Brady about to battle it out again here in the NFC South. And, everything. What's that?
Yeah, sure. They're going to battle it out, Pat.
You don't think Sam Darnold it's an upgrade over Teddy Bridgewater?
I don't know if he's an upgrade over either of or over Teddy Bridgewater, but Brady's dog walking that entire division no matter what. It doesn't matter if Teddy Bridgewater's the MVP. They're still going to beat the shit out of the Carolina Panthers till Brady leaves.
Well, you know, that is, you know, that is something you have to look at immediately upon any decision is made in the in a division where the Super Bowl champs are. It's like, okay, is anybody going to be able to top the Super Bowl champs? Now, the Saints were able to do it in regular season, okay, but the Saints are about to be a vastly different team without Drew Brees playing quarterback. Now, we're not saying that's a bad – and they also had to cut nine people or whatever because they had to get under their salary. So, I mean, they're going to be a very different team. But it doesn't feel like any – now, granted, we still got the draft ahead of us, okay, and who knows who's going to do what, and there might be some other moves made. It feels like the Buccaneers are watching everything going on, and they're pretty pumped up about what's – because there was a chance Carolina was trying to get Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson, allegedly – and this is just like the Chicago Bears fans who thought they were getting Russ Wilson, and then they got Andy Dalton. They're like, ah, Carolina Panthers were in those conversations as well. I wonder how the Sam Darnold reception has been in Carolina, you know, like both the team and the fans.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we'll have to see. But that's a big move that comes out of nowhere with the Jets having no leverage and still being able to get three picks for that whole thing. At Ty Schmidt, the NFL is a-buzzing right now. You know what?
I have an idea why.
Hey. Aaron Rodgers fucking killed it last night.
Knocked it out of the park. Knocked it out of the park.
I am a Jeopardy watcher. A lot of people would not assume that I'm a Jeopardy watcher, okay? I do not get many answers right, but I try to remember a lot. Like, it is a great place to pick up fun little
factoids.
Yeah, and also you get a chance to witness some of the quickest, most intelligent people we have walking this earth kind of operate. And there's also some real skill involved because the timing of the buzzer, James Holzhauer, taught us that that is a big deal. So I like Jeopardy. I also like Wheel of Fortune. I'll watch them both. I've watched the other guest hosts. And aside from the executive producer, who I guess used to be the host of Science
Aaron said it yesterday.
he was very good. He had to fill in because somebody couldn't make it because of COVID. Aside from him, Aaron beat everybody by, I don't know, 30 to 40X.
Yeah.
And he was better than the EP guy, probably 5 to 10X.
Yeah.
He fucking slaughtered it. And people, you know, obviously he's a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
Okay, we had him on yesterday, literally talked about it.
So what?
But he... he prepared for it. It was very obvious. Mm-hmm. He was smooth. Now, there are people calling for LeVar Burton, I believe, to get the Jeopardy host. By the way, I hope he gets a chance to do the guest host as well. I would like to see that whole thing. I assume he's going to be fantastic as a host because he's already hosted before. He has a great voice. And there's a whole thing happening. We are not an anti-LeVar Burton show.
No, I love Reading Rainbow.
But I will say, after watching Aaron last night, I felt like watching it, I was like, okay, everybody else tried to make it their own. You know, everybody else was like, okay, I'll do the show, but I'll make it my own. I'll add these little things in there. Aaron based, and I assume they were being told to make it your own, by the way.
Yeah, okay? Definitely.
Make this your own. Don't. Aaron was like, nah, you know what? I'm not, okay? There's a blueprint to be the greatest fucking host of this show of all time. And they're saying he studied.
But yeah.
I'm getting text messages from people that work with Aaron, you know? And they're sending me text messages like, hey, when we say he was dialed in for this, like he was notes and film and like everything. And he had an early Saturday Night Live skit on the Daily Double. He crushed it. There was no awkwardness. He said they had to re-shoot a couple things. I don't know what those were, but if what he said yesterday to us was, I would love to be the host of Jeopardy. Then with his performance immediately upon him saying, I would love to be the host of Jeopardy, we initially went, well, he's not saying that if he...
If he doesn't if, actually...
If he bombed.
Right.
He's not saying... So I was, like, excited to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
After watching it, and then also listening to this, which this video clip is hailing from Shailene Woodley's Instagram Live via by way of Aaron Rodgers' Instagram. There's a video where Aaron was asked by his missus, he described her on this show as, about potential Jeopardy in an Instagram Live.
Are you going to get football to host Jeopardy?
This is, are you going to quit football to host Jeopardy? No, I'm not going to. I just won MVP. I still have a lot left in the tank.
Okay.
I'm still going to play.
Okay.
And I'd love to host Jeopardy at the same time. Jeopardy films 5 shows a day, 46 days a year. That's 230 episodes.
Good math.
And I work for 6 months out of the year. So the other 6 months, I would have time to probably film 46 days, I think. Don't you, Ben?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Oh, hell yeah.
100%. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
You could do so much. Okay.
That's
done deal.
Okay, so he's already done the math. That was on Instagram Live. It wasn't like a scripted Q&A session.
No.
That question came from somebody else. She actually, I think she might have misread it, actually, so that was coming up. He had already done the math. He had already said, okay, 46 days. I can do, we need 46 days. What, month? What, we need month and 16 days. I think I could do it. Well, normally it's a break time. Well, we can scatter that over 4 or 5 months. I only work for 6 months. If this motherfucker, okay, if he is NFL MVP, somehow can win a Super Bowl and host Jeopardy full-time, I mean,
pretty good year.
Give him his own haul.
Uh-huh.
Give him his own haul out there. He fucking slaughtered it yesterday.
I mean, like you said, he also, he wouldn't do this if he didn't know. I mean, obviously these episodes are already in the can. So he's been like sitting on this, thinking about this for the however many weeks since he's done it. Like, okay, I crushed this thing. How many days are there? Like, he definitely could do this. And it's going to take a different guest that does, like, very, very well. Like, right now, I think the overwhelming sentiment is like, hey, fuck it. Let Rodgers do both. Let him play and let him host Jeopardy.
Well, I think ratings are probably going to be rather high. I have not seen a guest host thus far. There's been a few now. There's been – he is nowhere near the first guest host here. There's been a few, and they've been talked about and everything like that. But this had a real buzz going into it. You know what I mean? It was like an event. The way he said yesterday, you know, tonight's a big night, both me hosting Jeopardy and the national championships. Yeah. I was like, you know what? You are right.
It does stack up. Yeah,
I am actually pretty
the first thing I've DVR'd in months.
Imagine if he fucking bombs out there, how that goes. And he probably had that in his mind, by the way, while he's watching the film. He's like, well, if I'm going to do this, you know, because when you're in the sports world, everybody always expects you to be a stooge. Okay. Aaron has said this. He said, I don't want to do the celebrity Jeopardy. He said, I want to do like the actual Jeopardy one time. He didn't always say that, but he said that a couple of times where, because he did the celebrity Jeopardy, and in the rehearsal round, you know, Mr. Wonderful, I guess, was having a pretty good go about it. And then there was an astronaut. He was going against an astronaut, Mr. Wonderful from the Shark Tank, Kevin. And then it was Aaron. And I guess in the rehearsal round, Mr. Wonderful was doing well or whatever. These guys, that's a billionaire. They've got a fucking astronaut.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Aaron Rodgers is sitting there, and he slaughters them. Slaughters them. And everybody's like, great. He's celebrity Jeopardy champion, everything. I feel like he views that as a slight. You know what I mean? He's like, well, I think, you know, for me to get real respect, I think I would have to actually. That's a shame, because there's no way he'll be able to do that once he becomes a full-time host. He can't go on like a whole entire like run.
Yeah, I think he's okay with
just
hosting the show for the next, I don't know, 30, 35 years.
Jeopardy's
going to
survive, by the way.
No matter what.
Jeopardy, even when all of the cords have been cut, when all of the movement has gone to streaming, Jeopardy will survive strictly because people are always intrigued by trivia. They dress trivia up in every single fashion that they can to create content, to create games, to create everything. It's how do we get trivia in a different world? It's just like conversations and interviews. Everybody's like, how do we dress up an interview to get people intrigued for something that has been happening for a long time? Trivia is that. Jeopardy's the staple of it. I believe the trivia community, people that are into trivia, which will always exist because it's something I think make people feel smarter, makes people feel good about themselves. And, you know, learning is always a good thing as well. So I believe Jeopardy will always survive. Mm-hmm. And if you become the host of that show, I do believe it becomes like an institution almost. It's one of those shows where it'll become like a torch passinger almost. Mm-hmm. If he's there for 15, 20 years.
He already lives out there in the off season.
Yep. He's got that house out there. They can film the whole thing there. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it almost makes too much sense.
Especially if we're getting moments like the Final Jeopardy. Oh. I mean, when that stuff's happening, it's like, you got to keep the guy up there.
What was his... I guess they filmed this in January or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was still fresh on his mind or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But whenever I first heard that, you know, I thought that was just a shot at all field goals. And then I'll go, oh, shit, no.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I was like, oh, no. Like, Aaron, by the way, was in quite a... well, it obviously wasn't mine. Just that, by the way, is run everywhere and talked about. Aaron Rodgers says on Jeopardy while hosting, he disagrees with Matt LaFleur's decision or whatever. You know, there's just there's so many things I would assume that ran through that gorgeous comb over he had going in there. There's just so much going on. Who wanted to kick that field goal, says guy. $0. He knew he was fucked, by the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always like to see the how much they wager or whatever, because, you know, you have to do that pre-seeing the question.
Mm-hmm.
I love whenever people just big, hey, I'll tell you what, any other fucking category, here's a big old zero. I got nothing to wager here.
That's why Holzhauer was the best, because he'd be up by like 20,000 and still wagering like 27,000 in Final Jeopardy. Like, those kind of players are electric.
They are. It's a fun game.
I don't know if Aaron said it too, but he said he could see them writing before it actually pops up.
Oh, and really?
That, yeah, so he was like, I looked away out of respect, like, for that that reaction he had, basically.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. You know what I learned just the other day watching Jeopardy?
What's that?
So, you know, the... Stop. So that was about 15 seconds if we did that properly timed.
Yeah.
Because they run it back twice and it's 30 seconds. So if you ever find yourself in a potential situation where you need to know 15 seconds to 30 seconds, one Jeopardy round is 15 seconds.
Huh? Good to know.
That's good to know.
Think about how high you got to be while watching Jeopardy to think of that. It's like, all right, how long is this? 30 seconds, and I did it. And I was like, okay, so that's about 15 seconds. If I ever need to know, if I ever need to kill 15, 30 seconds, here it is. It's the Jeopardy tune. Zita, what is the poll for today?
Should Aaron Rodgers be the full-time host of Jeopardy? What is no? Question mark is 26%. What is yes?
74%. Wow. That's 15,000 votes already. You got to shut it down already. Sam Darnold got traded, though, to the Carolina Panthers yesterday out of nowhere. We knew a trade was inevitable just strictly because of the optics and how that whole situation would have to work. But it happened yesterday. 4-3 future picks was something I don't think any of us saw coming. Joining us now is a man who could potentially talk about what it's going to be like for Zach Wilson in New York, which is allegedly the definite pick. Sam Darnold in New York and moving on to Carolina now. The Sanchez, Mark Sanchez. How are you, buddy?
Howdy, what's up, bud?
Hanging out. How are you? Can't even see your arms there.
Doing great. Get it? I get it. Camo joke. Nice.
How are you, man? You're looking thinner than I think I've ever. Are you down right now?
Wasting away to nothing here. Just got a Bowflex plug.
Ooh. Have you been doing the Randy Johnson? The whole Bowflex?
What?
Isn't that a Bowflex?
I don't know.
Come on.
I don't know.
I think that's one of the exercises.
Yeah. The thing.
I've been doing Oculus boxing.
Yeah, there's a plug. Now there's a plug now. You look good, though. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. Especially on this particular day with Sam Darnold moving. We talked to you before about the Sam Darnold situation, and I think you felt like a lot of people, like, hey, that's pretty unfair. The situation around him has not really been ideal for him to potentially be his best self. Now he's going to Carolina. Are you happy for Sam, I'd assume? And have you talked to him, or what do you think his initial reactions and emotions were when finding out he got traded out of there?
I'm thrilled for him. We exchanged a couple texts last night. He's my neighbor here in Orange County. So I think this is great, because if he was going to go back to New York, right, there's too short of a leash. The grace period's over. The honeymoon's over, right? And I said this a couple months ago that he'd go three and out one time and he'd get booed out of the stadium. And it was just so unfair to put him in that situation.
Yeah.
And to judge Sam Darnold right now, saying he's either a good or bad quarterback, I think is just premature. It's unfair to do that. So this is a chance for him to get a change of pace, much smaller media market, a chance to focus on playing and just resurrecting his career in a sense. And, you know, it's unfortunate the way things went. I had Jet fans texting me, people that I know that are huge Jet fans, like, well, good luck, Sam. We barely knew you, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm sure it's a little frustrating in some ways, but I think turning over a new leaf for him is the best thing for him. And I said, you know, a month ago also, I said Panthers, Eagles, Broncos, 49ers. Those are the teams he could go and potentially compete. But if he stays in New York and they draft Zach Wilson, he'd get released, you know, right before the season and have to end up like Jameis Winston did last year and find a place with an established starter and not really, you know, have a chance to play unless somebody went down.
And get paid like $800,000, $1 million or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So they picked up his option, which is great.
That's huge, right? And that means he's going to be the guy down there. So they told Teddy he can seek trade options if that happens, but we're too far along. And I think Teddy's owed like $18 million or something. That's going to be a tough trade, I think, at this point. So it's going to be Sam and Teddy. Can I go back to something you said there, though? You said Charlotte, much smaller media market. Is it really... You're one of the only people that will really, truly know what this is like. The media thing, what is it about? Because you always hear it like, oh, it's big media. But now with social media, don't you kind of hear everything being said anyways? What's the difference, you think? Is it just you feel like you're being watched? The things that are being said, it's in your face more? Why is New York one of those media places where it's like very impossible? And everybody says this. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but why is it?
It's definitely more in your face. Like in Indy, I'm sure you guys had a few beat writers. In New York, there's like 30, you know, every day in the locker room. I mean, they're there. It's a cutthroat business. They got to get the story. They got to get the scoop. They got to have their sources. And
that makes sense.
It just has so much more weight there. Right. And as a quarterback, you try and tune that stuff out. But as soon as you go to the press conference, you got, you know, your media liaison and PR guy basically debriefing you on what you're about to talk about and all the articles that essentially came out, basically kind of go through the headlines of, hey, here's kind of what's going on in the news.
Hey,
and you have a good idea,
so
you can't like block it out.
Hey, isn't it awesome though? They tell you like, hey, listen, block all that. Don't hear any of the noise. Anything that's going on outside the building, don't worry about it. It's all about in here.
Exactly.
Okay, now, when you go in here, they're going to fucking talk about it. Okay, they're going to.
Hey, remember that game you threw three picks yesterday? So they're going to want to talk about that.
Okay. You moved on.
They didn't go well, and you're going to have to address that.
Man, I didn't even think about that aspect because in my eyes, it's like, all right, everything's being fed to you. You can't hide from anything anymore. It's much different than it was.
Oh, no doubt.
But now thinking about the amount of media people that would come into our locker room when it was a primetime game or something like that, the amount of people that were in there. I assume it was like that for you guys every single day. It was
every
miserable.
Day.
It was absolutely miserable. And I never talked to them. They never wanted anything to do with me, but just looking around, it was like, okay, so this person has to say fake bullshit for the next 30 minutes here, and we can't talk about anything at all. All right, I'm going to get out of here.
Dude, I had a locker. I shared a locker next to Thomas Jones my rookie year. Bro, he would give me the evil eye. Because the media would come by and he's like, hurry your rookie ass up. Or he'd say bitch ass or something. You know, he would just like, yo, hurry up. Get these people away from my locker now. Or go talk somewhere else.
It's true because they'll like stand. They'll stand on the seats. Now, near me was, I didn't have anybody. Like Pat Anger was there for a bit. Hugh Thornton was there. Denzel Good was there. A.Q. Shipley was there. Not a lot of big media presence where my locker was. But over where the quarterbacks were, they're standing on people's seats at their lockers like this to get their thing. And the guy's like just comes out of like the shower or whatever. It's just like, are you fucking done, dude? That is, I can see that being difficult in New York.
It's such a weird dynamic, too, because guys are fresh out of the shower, like one leg up on the chair.
get the,
you know,
can you get off
my freaking junks hanging out and they're like putting lotion on and, you know, people are just walking through interviewing people. Yeah. Like, it's all good.
Yeah. You got to cover the sport. Got to cover the sport. And that's addressed, by the way, every training camp. They're like, the media's relationship with you is a good one for everybody. Oh, yeah. And they start explaining how good it is. And then some guys are like, yeah, but can we not do it a little bit differently? That'd be great. But it's the NFL is the biggest on earth for a reason. Let's talk about some guys that are about to head into the NFL. It is alleged now at this point, Trevor Lawrence locked in at one to Jacksonville. Zach Wilson locked in number two overall to the Jets. Mac Jones, as of this morning, allegedly, Schefter reported that he would be very surprised if he doesn't see Mac Jones with the Niners. Let's assume Schefter has some connections there. So now it's going down to four. Atlanta's allegedly potentially going to trade out of there. Who knows? But let's talk about those top three guys and then the other three quarterbacks or two quarterbacks that are definitely going to go in the first round at this point. What are your thoughts on those guys? Why is it so hard for a quarterback to have a successful transition? We had a graphic we put up earlier, first round draft pick quarterbacks with their same team 10 years later. There's next to none of them at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Why is it so hard? And what are your thoughts on some of these guys that are coming out here?
I mean, quickly, toughest position in all of sports, the most criticized, the most praised, and one of the toughest to evaluate, right? Because you can evaluate the physical aspect, you can evaluate their experience, the intelligence aspect, and then their personality. Those are like the four kind of buckets that you have to, you know, evaluate and then see how that fits with your organization. So once you do that, now you got to put them in positions to be successful. And that's coordinator, that's talent around them, that's defense, that's what you do in the media, how much press you make them do, whatever. So it's such a crapshoot with all this stuff. I'm still blown away that Justin Fields isn't, you know, really like the second guy.
Yeah, hold on.
I still think him and Trevor are like closer than people think. We're talking, I really think it's two plays in the Indiana game, one play against Northwestern, and one play against Clemson. That's four, maybe five plays in eight games this past year that have now made him like this, you know, incapable or incapable guy and, you know, guy who can't play the position well and doesn't go through his progression. I think it's just bogus. And hey, Mark, I think he's still one of the best.
Mark, so this is how, by the way, Justin Fields has been a large part of our conversation because I watch college football, especially last year because of the game day experiences and having to know. Yeah. But I'm not that invested, right? I'm an NFL fan. I'm not that invested in college football, but I kept up with it. Justin Fields was the guy. And by the way, and all the quarterback people, like the Elite 11 people, the quarterback guru people, they're like, hey, by the way, everybody loves Trevor Lawrence. The guy in Columbus, like he's potentially the guy as well. And then all of a sudden, out of it literally came, I guess, after the Indiana game, questions started to come. Then the Big Ten championship game, I guess they continued to come or whatever. There was a couple of plays there. But then it was like, it's college football. There's a lot of bad plays from a lot of guys. Oh, yeah. You can't just only look at those. And then it just started going. And then I asked Orlovsky why he thinks it's dropping. And then he says some people in decision-making roles tell him something. And he says it out there. And that starts an entire firestorm. And now I think I'm learning even more. Like, his coaches have come out and were like, no, love the guy. Teammates say they love the guy. Came back and then the petition he had. Why is it, Mark? And were you a part of any of that type of bullshit when you were coming out where there was like maybe some smoke and mirrors being said about you that you thought they were potentially trying to disrupt your draft stock?
I didn't experience a ton of that. The real knock on me was just lack of experience, right? Only playing for 1 year. 1 year starter is something that I dealt with coming out. But for Justin, so this guy, Dr. Goldman, he's a sports psychologist. I talked to him yesterday. He has some interesting information on how he evaluates players, all players and from all different sports, okay? Since 2012, this guy's interviewed and given this basically like a mental aptitude test on an iPad of 6,500 athletes, professional athletes, okay? Not just your average Joe walking down the street. These are like ballers, okay?
Not me.
They have a, exactly, like you.
Not
learning,
me. Not me.
They have a learning efficiency rating on there. So it's basically like this acquisition, like, so how many reps does it take till you get it, till you understand something, and then your recall, like, once you have it, can you bring it back and use it, right? That's basically what they're trying to figure out in one part of this test. Justin Fields, okay, the guy who supposedly can't go through his reads, you know, doesn't have great work ethic, all this bogus stuff. He scored the highest ever. Okay, he scored the highest that they can rank him.
6,500.
Okay, they scored a 130 on it. He scored a 130. Mahomes was like a 108. Josh Allen was like a 108. Like, over 100 is good, bro. He was a 130. Okay, this kid can learn. Essentially, it would equate to like an average playbook that's not that complicated. He'd learn it faster than anybody.
Question:
a very complicated playbook. To him, it would be like an average playbook.
Question.
Like, this kid was in the top 1% of 6,500 pro athletes.
Question.
Okay? This kid is bright.
I have a question. Does he have a photographic memory? It seems like he probably has a photographic memory.
I don't know exactly how that
if he does,
shakes out, but
he doesn't have to be there at 4 a.m. in the fucking morning.
Yeah, right.
Okay. If he does and he's having this entire thing, he's like, okay, yeah, I got it. I got it.
And the other thing, too, is like, you want to talk about toughness? Dude, this kid came back in a Michigan game 2 years ago, you know, banged up his knee, threw a brace on it. Next play goes in, throws a touchdown, gets absolutely crushed by Skalski against Clemson.
Yeah.
Like he got hit by a Volkswagen freaking bus.
Yeah.
And comes right back in with broken ribs, rolls to his left, completes the ball, touchdown. Yeah. Like, I mean, this kid has the toughness, has the grit. I'm blown away that his stock's not even higher. But
the fact I think, he has a photographic memory, Sanchez. Yeah. That's what it would have to be.
If potentially. It's, if I don't know what it is, but
that's definitely what it is.
Nailed that test.
That's definitely what it is. If it's a recall test where you get shown something and then you have to recall it, if he scored the highest out of 6,500 people, I would assume there's some people in there who have pretty fucking good memories in there. That means he would have to look at it. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it. Like, that
It was impressive, but...
What'd you score on there? Did you take it?
Say that again?
Did you take it?
I didn't. I want to, though. I will soon.
I think you stay out of it.
I'll give you my numbers if they're good. If they suck, I'll tell you.
That's what I was going to say. I think you stay out of it there. I think that's... You can sing. You're handsome. You've had success. There's no reason to set yourself up for potential. Oh, this guy can't remember shit. Sanchez... whenever you think about the quarterback position right now around the NFL, what are your thoughts? Do you think like the Mac Jones, I don't want to say stationary because he's more athletic than people are giving. I get it. But do you think that the classic pocket passing quarterback is going to survive forever? Or do you think you're going to have to add an element to your game at this point with the way the offense is moving?
The way offenses are moving, you got to be able to move a little bit. And, you know, Mac Jones would be, you know, maybe at the lower end of that spectrum. But, you know, he's also in a draft where, you know, Justin Fields just ran a 4.4. Okay. Trevor Lawrence would run, you know, a 4.6, 4.5 probably. Zach Wilson, pretty fast. So he's in a quarterback class that's ridiculously athletic.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, an NFL comp for him, I talked to Steve Sarkisian. And he was my coordinator at SC, now obviously the head coach in Texas, and was as Alabama's coordinator for Mac Jones. But he said his NFL comp is Matt Ryan. And nobody complains about Matt Ryan not being able to move. You know, nobody complains about Matt Ryan's arm strength. He can make all the throws. He can do everything you need to do. And for Matt Ryan, honestly, you know, if he wins that Super Bowl like we all thought he would a couple years ago, we're singing an awfully different tune about him because he's a baller. So I think there's plenty of potential for Mac Jones, and I think it looks like, you know, the 49ers might be his landing spot.
Ty Schmidt.
Sanchez, going back to the Jets, you mentioned last time you were on here that you didn't think they really did enough for Sam Darnold. Obviously, it's early, and they have a lot of draft capital, but do you see the situation with Zach Wilson being any different? Like, are they going to set him up for success?
You would hope so. I think the most important thing there is who they acquire. Like, they got a hit on these draft picks coming up, right? Because it's not going to be a free agency thing. It's about draft picks. They have the capital. You know, they didn't have to give up, or they got a little bit for Sam. And, you know, they've got to nail these picks. And in 2 years, we'll know. We'll really know how well, you know, Joe Douglas does, because these guys are going to have to play early. They're going to have to make plays for Zach, and they're going to have to build this thing around him. And it looks like, you know, they have all the pieces in line. Now they got to nail this draft and next year's draft. So
you like Zach,
but it's a total crapshoot. You know what's interesting about Zach? I love watching him.
Okay,
I think he's he thrives in chaos. Meaning, when the pocket starts to close down, like that's when he comes alive. Okay, he's not your typical, you know, five steps, hitch, rhythmic kind of guy. He likes to throw off platform. He in some ways, I feel like maybe a little rough. Too much when you might not need it and the pocket's clean. Like, I don't need you to do anything special. Just, you know, give me the routine ground ball and throw it to first base and we're good. Call it an inning.
Yeah, just keep the beat, dude.
He's so special, right? And that's the thing. When you look at these guys this year, like, it's like a singer. It's like an actor, right? You hand them a sheet of music. A lot of people can sing it and a lot of people make it sound good. But there are very few, a handful of people, that can take that script or take that sheet of music and make it sound special. It comes alive. It's the same notes, you know, the same key, all that stuff, but they do something. The John Legends, you know, people like that, that just make something
all
come alive.
Zach loves all you.
Yes. So Zach Wilson has some of that. I think Justin Fields has some of that, where these plays break down and they just come alive. And some, it's the same play that everybody runs, right? It's shallow cross, it's mesh, it's four verticals, whatever. And these guys do something that make you pause the film and go, wow, that was really special. So I think Zach definitely has that. And he has that, like, riverboat gambler kind of, like, you know, I love that. Yeah. I think he's like Brett Favre-ish. Underhand throw. You know, he's the kind of guy who will complete like a left-handed pass at some point in his career. He might throw one around his back to the fullback. Like, he's that kind of guy. And it is so fun to watch. But for a coordinator, you just have to know what you're signing up for, right? Like, as soon as that ball snapped, you might not know exactly where it's going, but good chance it's going to the right spot.
Wow. That was really special out of you, Mark Sanchez. Thank you, man. That was a really good answer. We appreciate you so much.
Appreciate you guys. It's fun.
Can I show you the photo that Zito used for the graphic? We didn't even put it up today.
What?
Zito used for the graphic for today. Look at this photo of you, just so you can kind of.
There was a Jets one. I saw a Reds. A Washington.
Whoa.
Franchise.
Bro.
My bad.
Dude,
I'm about to freaking get. Ooh, yikes. That's from the Kentucky Derby.
That was a good photo.
Hey, three-piece down there in Kentucky. Okay. It was probably hot as hell, huh?
It's okay. Hair's real tight.
Hair's tight.
Yeah, you do have like the Mad Men, you know what I mean? Like, they just got done selling advertising in the city. You know what I mean? Give me a smoke, dude.
That's salesman Mark right there.
Do you wear hats down there? When you go down and do the Kentucky Derby, I assume, you know, Jets quarterback, you know, last USC. Successful USC stuff. I mean, you probably you go up there where Aaron, Tom Brady, and the boys are. How do you do Kentucky Derby? I did it in the infield one time. It was.
Yeah, I get to a good spot so I could see the races, and then I shine those guys' shoes.
All right, Sanchez.
No, but that year I had a cane, and inside the cane you could screw off the top, and there was this long flask, the length of the cane.
The cane's
long,
in the photo.
Like, glass flask. Below. It was awesome. So my buddy put like this special bourbon in there for us. It was, dude, it was a blast.
Man, just house and canes, dude.
Yeah.
Great photo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Sanchez.
Thank you, Mark.
Appreciate it, guys.
Host the fourth
awesome.
And
forever. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Host the fourth and forever podcast, a great podcast. That was a good conversation there about all things happening in the world. Zach Wilson, he said.
Yeah.
Not really a five hitch guy, but when he gets out of that pocket and pressure comes on, he comes alive, he said.
Special talent.
That's good for New York. The highlights that could potentially come from that thing.
For sure. Can you imagine him throwing one behind his back for like a pick six, though?
Oh, exactly.
What they would be saying.
Why do you gotta go that next?
Well, I'm just thinking.
You know, I could go wrong. If he's flashing the Jets.
Behind the back, back to back pick sixes or something. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Especially if Fields drops and then Fields, you know, he's got a 130 on the Goldman test and Fields goes out there and crushes. Then what? then how does New York
Yeah, this
look?
Is like the Herbert after Tua thing, yeah. just 1 year removed from it. Yeah, because there's a lot of conversation right now. Because the Herbert thing was small town, can't handle it. He doesn't seem to have any of the leadership, can't control a huddle, doesn't have the moxie. People forget that that was what was happening a year ago. Now, Tua was too injured, too fragile. Mm-hmm. But Herbert was dropped below Tua at the beginning of that whole thing because he couldn't be a leader in that whole thing. Every year, there's something that's just complete bullshit. 130 on that test?
Yeah.
He's got to have a photographic memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's going to take him? Denver?
Somebody they say it's going to trade up at four.
Yeah, someone's trading at four.
As soon as I feel like what people are probably doing right now is they're hearing all the smoke, and then draft night they're going to be like, if this is how this actually is, let's make a move to try to get to four. This is what our best offer will be, this whole thing. I assume there's going to be potential movement on that four pick, and Atlanta has already leaked, like, hey, we're listening. They've already put out, like, Atlanta is fielding offers or has made offers or something like that. Atlanta's basically like, hey, if you want it, come and get it. Mm-hmm. We're okay doing whatever. So let's assume that one's going to get moved as well, which is great news for everybody. Miami still has four picks within the top 50 picks this year.
Yep.
Look for them to potentially make some moves, huh?
Move back.
Need some weapons. Need some weapons.
Yeah, the Colts do as well. Mm-hmm. The Colts need a weapon as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Pittman's training, dancing. I've seen him. He's coming alive. T.Y. Hilton, obviously, absolute stud. I don't know if I sent it to the group or not. I was watching film, you know, because T.Y. told me to. Yeah. I was like, T.Y., mm-hmm. I always say that coverages, you know, the way you get covered is just obnoxious almost, but it's hard to really talk about. And I was like, can you give me a couple games to watch, the people that did it? He had me watch a couple games. This Houston coverage was hysterical. So Houston is where his nickname, the Ghost, began, because every time we played Houston, he would disappear like a ghost behind their defense. So a long ball, him and Andrew would connect on something. Then the Ghost, it just kind of became a thing, like extended plays. This guy is open and he's going to get the ball wherever you need it or whatever. This Houston coverage is there's a bunch set to the right. T.Y. single off to the left by himself. No tight end to his side. There's a corner on him. There's a safety over top. And then the other safety is shifted over to the close hash. And they are all staring at him. There's three other wide receivers on the other side. And I was just like, and I screenshotted it and I sent it to him. And I was like, is this what you were referring to? And he was like, yeah, what the fuck is that? Yeah. I said, I have no idea. I have no idea what it is. But he's the type of guy where if you get somebody who demands and commands some attention, I think that Carson Wentz offense could go, but there's a lot of teams that need offensive weapons too. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see how it goes out there.
With how many receivers there are, they talked about, you know, receivers going forward. They're going to be deep in multiple classes to come, and offensive line. So it's like,
and they're good. I mean, yeah, they're saying good. The young wide receivers are better than anybody's ever been because the footwork drills that they do is just making them elite separators from corners. Let's get a phone call in here before we get to a break in 2 minutes. Let's go to Fletcher down there in North Carolina. What's going on, Fletcher?
Hey, Pat. What's popping, boys?
Is it Felcher or Fletcher?
Hey, it's Fletcher, Pat.
He spelled it Felcher. I went with Fletcher.
Yeah.
But then as I was saying Fletcher, I thought to myself, whoa, what if his name actually is Felcher? Mm. Happy to hear I was correct, even though I had never talked to you before, ever. What do you want to talk about,
yes,
Fletcher?
Yes, sir, Pat. First-time caller, but been listening to you for about a year and a half now.
You'll get sick of us soon. We appreciate you, though. What do you want to talk about, man?
What if we get Kyle Pitts? If Kyle Pitts drops to 8, do Carolina pick him up?
I don't know if he drops to 8 from what I've been told. I like that the Carolina Panthers, though, have been making moves. The Carolina Panthers have been aggressive. Right now it's Jags, Jets, Niners via trade with the Dolphins at 3, Falcons, which is allegedly going to be a tradable pick, then the Bengals, then the Dolphins via the Eagles, then the Lions, then the Panthers, then the Broncos or whatever, and then it kind of goes there. I think Pitts is going to go in that 5-7 range.
Yeah.
After 4 quarterbacks go and teams have to make decisions on what they like, what they don't like, look for Pitts to go. By a lot of accounts, best football player in this draft is Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. Let's assume somebody's going to make a move to get up there for him.
Bengals offense is perfect for him. They're only missing, you know, that tight end. They got Higgins last year. They got Boyd.
And would help Joe Burrow immensely.
Yeah.
Also might want to get an O-line down there.
Well, that's what – get the ball to Kyle Pitts quick. You know what I mean? Yeah,
immediately. Get out of here.
Now, Kyle Pitts, diner and floor is going to be a little different with no indoor facility in Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's a good point. A little chilly.
I think he'll manage. People go through many changes as we get older. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah.
For men, one of the less fortunate changes is that testosterone production begins to naturally decrease in the body. Did you know this, AJ?
I am aware.
For most men, it begins around the age of 30, and testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year.
My Whoa. God.
So if you live to 130, you ain't got shit left.
No, minus 30.
Well, if it starts around 30, this is one of those questions on a test where, you know, begins around 30, and the testosterone production declines by roughly 1% per year. So does it start at zero or does it start at 30? That's the thing. This is where they can get you.
It's one of them damn word problems.
This is one of those problems where you're like, oh, wait a minute. Which, can I ask a follow-up? Anyways, I was good at those tests because I always viewed it as me versus the fucking teacher.
That's right.
Okay? I don't know what's going on, but this is me versus you. Fuck you. That's how I view it. That's why friends at Roman have a new supplement designed to support testosterone production. I did not know this. They formulated their own supplements with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. You hear this, AJ? Roman's testosterone supplement is for anyone who wants to support their own body's natural function. They formulated their own blend with transparent and scientifically backed ingredients. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/USA. Their supplement contains vitamin D3, zinc, magnesium, mica, and ashwagandha in a unique blend designed by healthcare professionals that you can't get anywhere else. To learn more about these incredible ingredients, visit GetRoman.com/USA. Roman is offering $15 off your first order and will deliver your supplements right to your door with free two-day shipping. When you go to GetRoman.com/USA, get $15 off your first order plus free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman, GetRoman.com/USA. That's good news. Let's try that stuff.
Okay.
I've been looking for that type of stuff.
That's good news. Mm-hmm.
That's what I want.
Now we know.
Hey, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman.
Thank you, Roman. Joining us for a conversation that is always beautiful. He's one of the voices of Madden. Customary conversation about Madden will happen at the end of the conversation. He is a broadcaster for CBS. You hear him on Sundays calling games in beautiful fashion. Ladies and gentlemen, Charles Davis. Yeah! Charles, I almost said the NFL Network. That's on me.
That's okay. It's okay. I work for NFL Network as well.
Oh, so you wow. do. Okay, so, all right. So I was right there. That's on me. Yeah, NFL Network.
No, you were spot on that one. I mean, you had it locked in, getting ready for the draft. Oh, looking forward to getting to Cleveland and saying hello and getting to AJ's land in terms of the great state of Ohio. Hey. So that part would be a lot of fun. And I can't imagine a place. How perfect is it that it landed this year after the Browns renaissance? Yeah. You know, to be able to get back to the playoffs. These fans long suffering the whole deal. And right before we get into all of that or whatever else you want to talk about, Pat, the bumper music, getting back. They quick pitched you on this one, it seems like. Yeah. Like, you know, it's like they got you there. You didn't get Stairway to Heaven on during your bathroom break and able to just let that play out like the great DJs do. But
thank you.
I like the way you pulled it together and came rolling back in.
That kind of, you know, if we're talking about, since it is draft season, I mean, composure there has to be pretty high.
Yeah.
You know, at that particular moment. Composure has to be something thought about. But also, the recall of knowing which song in the slide is probably a good song to go to, that would attribute to the Dr. Goldman test, which, have you heard about this? Have you heard about the Dr. Goldman test? And did you hear Mark Sanchez, tell us last hour or 2 hours ago that Justin Fields has scored higher than any other NFL quarterback in this Dr. Goldman in the recall department of anything? And how come that isn't something we've learned about? This guy might have photographic memory. He runs a 4.4, and he played in the Big Ten as a great star. I mean, this is – why is Justin Fields getting slept on, you think? And did you know this Dr. Goldman test even existed?
I didn't know that this test existed.
Neither did we, by the way.
I mean, I'm still trying to understand why I didn't get the playbook with the $100 bill taped in the back like we had in draft day or whatever it was that I didn't return. I don't know if you and AJ went through that during your time where they sent you the stuff and they wanted to see your recall and did they tape any money in there and see if you were going to be honest about the whole thing? I didn't get that part, but I'm loving hearing about this because I'm just going to tell you guys this. It's my own personal theory. Every year, like clockwork, we start the draft process with people at a certain level. Okay, so let's talk about the top level people. As we start the twists and turns, instead of being able to say nothing but positives about them, at some point we have to start picking them apart. We have to, right? Oh, we can't just keep saying great things. So we start picking them apart and we try and find contenders. Who else is good? People rise, the whole deal. In Trevor Lawrence's case, it's going to end up where all the twists and turns go, but when it's all said and done, he will continue to be the number one pick. We'll be back to he's the guy. We went through this with Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin. You know, you kind of fought it out with Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, but those were legit deals. Justin Fields, the rise of Zach Wilson got it. Then all this other conversation and buzz, so I'm very glad you brought up this test. And I still don't believe that the 49ers have settled in on Mac Jones as their third guy.
Hey, Shefty,
third guy because
Shefty said this morning he would be very surprised if they don't take take Mac Jones.
I understand that. Here's what I keep coming back to, though. They were at Mac's pro day. The same day, as you guys remember, Justin Fields was throwing in Columbus. They couldn't be two places, NFL rules this year. You know how it goes, right? Only so many can go, blah, blah. So Kyle Shanahan chose to be at Mac Jones. And it's understandable. We know why and the reasons and all that. We can go through whatever you want. But that same day, was it not announced that there would be a second pro day for Justin Fields and that the 49ers would be in attendance? So that's why I'm not just saying I'm waving the flag on this and saying it's definitely Mac Jones. There's still time. And I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are going to do due diligence on this, be at the second pro day, have a chance to get up close and personal with him, the ABC way, as we used to say we do when we were kids, and off we go from there.
Charles, I don't know if you've seen, I guess Nick Saban has said that the Niners have not spoken to him and not asked him any questions about Mac Jones. Like, do you think he's telling the truth? And if he is, like, is that alarming at this point?
I think he's telling the truth, and AJ, I would be alarmed if we hadn't had so many occasions where guys had been drafted without anyone talking about them. Now, the difference in this one is, you guys know the stories all the time about different people who have not been discussed with certain programs because they didn't want the rest of the league to know they liked that guy. The Jay Cutler story is famous in Denver with Mike Shanahan, where he never once talked with anyone at Vandy. They didn't, you know, work him out individually. They kept all their people away, and then they took him at 11. They didn't want anyone to know that they were locked in on Jay Cutler. In this case, because they've moved up and got to the number three pick, AJ, I'd have to say it's a little surprising that we haven't heard about them digging in really deep on Mac Jones, because we now know where we are, right? If you're them, you can pretty much take Trevor Lawrence and put him to the side, but if you're taking a quarterback, you better do your due diligence on Zach Wilson in case the Jets somehow don't take him. Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. I'd be surprised if they don't talk to Nick Saban at some point.
I'm getting quarterback fatigue at this point, but we'll continue, we'll continue to talk about the quarterbacks. But it has been said to me personally, and also others are reporting, Kyle Pitts is the best player in this draft. How do you see that? Do you think, when do you think, 5 to 7 potentially? You think somebody's going to move up and get him? How do you see his night going? Because they're saying he's the guy right now.
Listen, my esteemed colleague at NFL Network, Daniel Jeremiah, who I think is the best in the business at doing this, and that's not a knock at anyone else. You know, I'm not here to say, well, he's the best and you guys aren't. I'm just saying I'm biased. I sit next to him every year.
He's great.
I see his work. I think he's the best. He's got him as his number two overall player in this draft. Number two overall player. Didn't say he's going to get drafted number two. Just the second best player. And then you watch his pro day, you watch his tape, and you understand why. So to your point, Pat, I think it really starts probably at 4 with Atlanta as a possibility. Not as strong, but then I think you're right. Going to 5, if someone wants him, you might want to get up there and get him, because the news yesterday of Sam Darnold going to Carolina, if you let him sit there and get to 8 to Carolina, who kept their first-round pick, I could easily see them rushing to the podium and turning in Kyle Pitts' name to give Sam Darnold another weapon to go with DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, you know, Christian Robbie's McCaffrey, that crew. You give him a big-time tight end.
Our favorites. Whew,
look out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Charles, have you studied Sam Darnold at all? Like, and what do you think he's going to be in Carolina? Can he kind of revive his career? I think he's still only 23 years old.
So young, man.
Yeah, AJ, I'm not ready to give up on him. I don't think anyone who's in this league really is. When you look at what he was going through, dealt with, what we saw in New York, the inconsistency of play there. Yeah, he has to own some of it. I'm not going to sit here and say that everything he did was perfect. The team was terrible. But he was not built for success, and they didn't ramp up for success. It never really happened, you know? So I think in this case, Carolina has some working pieces already in place. I'll be interested to see what they decide to do with the offensive line because they made some moves in the offseason. Pat Elflein's coming over to play guard for them, although he could play center, although Matt Paradis is there. Botan at one tackle. I think the left tackle spot is still up for grabs, even though Greg Little's penciled in and Cam Irving was signed in free agency. But if they can beef that up, remember, they were 7-9. I had them late in the season knocking off Washington, where if Washington won, they win the division. And Carolina came in there and put it on them. So I think they've got some good pieces in place. We'll see how it goes. But I'm actually bullish on Sam Darnold. Getting another opportunity in a different spot.
They're not going to be able to trade Teddy Bridgewater. Like, that is not – it's a $10 million guarantee, $18 million. At this stage of the game, I don't think there's any team that is going to take that on. I mean, maybe they will, but Teddy kind of gets – you know, he's going to be –
he gets lost in the shuffle a little bit here, which is unfortunate for him. Everything he's been through. The thing that got Teddy, when it was all said and done, as best I can tell from talking with people, David Tepper, as the owner, has been – jumping on the table, screaming, franchise quarterback, franchise quarterback, franchise quarterback. They signed Teddy last year, and he played well, but they were 0-8 in fourth quarters, right? Never got that comeback win, never got it done. Remember, the games they won, they led from the front. That became an issue, and when they looked at the draft board, my opinion, 1, 2, 3, 4 could easily be quarterbacks, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
So if there's no one there that you're going to want to go get, this is where Sam Darnold came into play for them.
And he's 23 years old. He's the oldest.
Yeah, he's pointing that out. He's a youngster.
He's the oldest 23-year-old in the history of the NFL. He's been through a lot. I mean, there is a chance that he could be their quarterback for the next 15 years, like franchise quarterback, or there's a chance we could find out he does just stink. We will find out, I guess, next year as he gets the opportunity. Go ahead, Connor.
Yeah, Charles, since the last time you've come on, I actually won a Super Bowl in Madden with the New England Patriots.
Congratulations. Right,
thank you. Thank you. I tried to follow it up going back to back, but I lost to Miles Snyder in the Jets. He's an auto-generated rookie. When are we going to get the real rookie classes? And once again, when the hell is Madden going to fix the damn game?
I love having this conversation with you because I am the best broken record you've ever seen.
So is he, by the way.
Since we had this last conversation, I have thought about it a little bit. And look, everyone I know, and I can give you all the canned stuff, they would tell you the same stuff. Everyone's trying to fix everything. You know that. Everyone's trying to make it better and get better.
Of course.
And I can just tell you, all the people who are working on that game have a better chance of doing what I do on the game and making it better than I have in doing their job.
You're not coding?
They're smarter than I am.
I'm
hoping that I know that they're working on it. I can't tell you much more beyond that. Like my dad used to tell me all the time, you got enough to worry about with your own stuff, kid. Why don't you fix that and let me worry about everything else? I just have to work on my performance.
Well, you crush it, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And you are one of the only people that you can directly talk to about Madden, by the way, because you're one of the mouths, one of the faces of the game. So I think whenever you come on this show, it is always seen as an opportunity our Madden.
I just wish I had an answer to be able to help, but I just know that this is, as they say, above my pay grade, above my ken, above my head, because they're just smarter than I am with algorithms and all that other stuff. For me, an algorithm was, do we run it off tackle? Or do I throw it 5 yards downfield?
Yeah. Maybe an option play, too. I mean, there's a lot of those algorithms out there. But I want to let you know, we appreciate your maximum effort given on Madden. Okay, I think I can speak. I don't play this a lot, but I think I can hear the frustration.
Oh, I took listen for anyone who plays games and does those things, I get it. We all want it to be fantastic. Mm-hmm. I'd love nothing more than to come on your show and say, boy, they really jumped the game up. And I know all the people working in Madden would love to hear that as well. That's why I know they're working on it. But I just I got to stay where I'm supposed to be, do the best job I can with my partner, Brandon Gauden, and we'll just keep fighting the good fight, and I know they're doing the same.
See, you're at the top of your game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're all hoping that the behind the scenes also gets up there as well, because that's what Madden is for everybody.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Charles Charles leading from the front over there, Madden. They're just asking for everybody else to come up.
He's fantastic. It's just, let's get someone screaming in the face of these coders and telling them, hey, let's step our goddamn game up.
Okay. Let's at least think about it.
And if they can't, let's maybe consider a price decrease.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
$20.
Because the thought is it hasn't changed.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take what I just heard from my friends there, and I'm going to use that for me each and every week, getting ready for my stuff. Step my game up.
Oh, right? You're saying okay.
Raise the bar, baby.
How motivated you? These right boys there. Are motivators?
Let's go!
Is this Lombardi here?
Right now,
let's go!
We should be in the tunnel, ready to go take the field right now.
We ready.
We're ready. Yeah, it's awesome. Charles, you're the best, dude. Every time you come on, I absolutely love it. We appreciate you, man. Cannot wait to see you on NFL Network there in Cleveland talking that good stuff. We appreciate you, CD.
Hey, appreciate you guys very much as always. Take care of yourselves, and hopefully see you real soon. And if nothing more, you guys make it to Cleveland, let me know you're going to be there.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, right. Charles
I'm one shot away from full vaccine.
Hey, you get that? You get vaccinated. I think the rules are coming out. Hey, high five, and how you? We hugging? Okay,
you're looking good. Yes.
Good luck out there, Charles Davis. We appreciate
it. Thanks.
Did you feel as if you were back in the tunnel there with the "We ready"? You know what I mean?
I did. That was the that's the go-to for how many years did teams use that?
Forever.
Yeah. Still are.
Still, I would assume it's still going. I mean, it is. There was one game I was a part of. I forget where it was. In West Virginia, that started every single tunnel, that whole thing. There was like a somber one, though.
Whoa.
And it was kind of like eerie. I was like, oh, shit. Like, it was because we walked down a little bit further one, and it didn't have as much energy. It was just like almost like we were walking, and it was just like a casual sing, basically. And it was echoing, and I was like, oh, fuck. Somebody's going to die tonight. Yeah. Feels like somebody's going to die. It was awesome to watch. It was a really cool part there. Charles Davis, always electrifying, though.
So what's going on with Madden? Like, they're still having all these issues?
To be honest, I have no clue. I've never played the game. I don't know. But I do know that the Madden community is always asking if I can go to bat for him. And Connor is taking it upon himself because he is in the Madden community.
Yeah.
And I just want to let you know, if it calls for us to say some things to the voice of Madden at this point, to relay the message for the Madden community who has invested large portions of their life to this game, for them to be happy, I'm all about it, pal. I'm all about a good, like, hey, let's make lives better and games better.
It's like, hey, a ball can't get deflected 18 times and then the other team's picking it off. It's like, hey, let's fix this shit. That doesn't happen in real football. This isn't a joke anymore, okay? Yeah. Video games are real and they're serious, and we're trying to make the game better, and they won't.
Dr. Goldman is actually working with some esports teams.
That's
true. Yeah.
Probably playing Madden. Dr. Goldman's getting involved, and Madden just refuses to believe that it's a real life thing.
Thank God.
Also, a mall in Pittsburgh leaked the cover of Madden. Derrick Henry.
Who's on it?
Derrick Henry. Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry.
Oh, there we go.
Talking Titans, baby.
When's the next Madden coming out?
No release date, but August 20th.
Yeah, it's always August. Right before the season.
All right, let's go. Okay, congrats. Mate, this one's going to be the year, by the way.
It better be.
Charles just said they've been working their asses off, man.
This is my last one, if it's not better.
They've been algorithming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they've been coding.
Mm-hmm.
They've been investing time and letters to this thing.
Better be.
They're ready to go. And it's because you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, guys.
We can do our part.
Nah, I'm not going to play it. Like, I'm serious. Those greedy corporate fat cats. You won't catch me spending $70 playing
it's
that fucking game.
Now.
Carbon copy of last year's version.
You're going to let somebody else pay for it, tell you if anything's different, like the classic iPhone move.
Boom. Exactly.
Like, do I need this one? It's a little different keypad, but I would not. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Good appreciate enough. It.
Bring back QB Vision, please.
Hey, there's QB Vision in the virtual reality football game.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You can actually throw the ball.
That might be. I could see how that'd be fun.
It's a good time. Yeah, it's hard for people that have never played it though to understand what you have to do because you're not actually throwing. It's kind of, but you have to like throw like a dart because you got to release a thing in there.
Yeah.
So it's like a mix between a football throw and a dart at the same time. It's a good workout. You get in there, you start slinging some things around, start getting flames on balls. He's on fire. Woo! He's on fire. He's on fire. Is he an NFL quarterback? Technically, I am.
Maybe.
No, I actually.
I mean, you got to throw like Rodgers. That's why the game's so tough.
Yeah, because you got to throw. You got to do the.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck executing that one. Hey, going back to that Dr. Goodman deal. Whoa.
Goldman. Like,
Jesus.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Goldman. That's my problem. Dude. This goes into my question. First off, why is this guy not more well known? Why are we just hearing about this? And did, when Sanchez said. He announced what Justin Fields' score was. It was crazy high compared to everyone else who's ever taken it. Was that the first time he said that publicly? Has that already been out there? Like, what is it?
We were also blindsided by this information and the existence of Dr. Goldman, who has a PhD in two certain different types of things, I guess, in the world of psychology. Mm-hmm. This test has been going on for some time, since at least 2014, when he took over the clinical and sports psychologist position for the Detroit Lions at the time.
Wow.
So this has been happening for some time. We celebrated the thought of this test a lot harder before reading that line right there. But the thought of this whole thing maybe being an alternate in a more deeper dive into a personality test, which a lot of teams give out. Maybe he has perfected it with the AIQ. But the fact that we did not know that Justin Fields has scored the highest out of all NFL, I think it was NFL, because there are some pitchers, I guess they were like a 138 or something like that. So there was other people up there, but it's like one of the highest recall scores in the history of the test. I can't believe nobody knows that. I didn't know Patrick Mahomes ever took this test.
Nope.
I didn't know Josh Allen. I mean, Sanchez was kind of just like, you know, doxing everybody.
Yeah.
This is going on. This is going on. But is this something that should be taken serious? That's our big question right now.
And who's administering the test? Like, how did these guys get the test given to them? Was it at a pro day? Like, does this Goldman, is he in with all the teams?
Dr. Goldman, he's worked with all five major leagues.
That's right. Yeah. MVPs from each.
But are the teams like, okay, Pat, but if you say you're the GM of a team, are you saying, all right, well, hey, we got to get this guy. We're going to a pro day. Make sure he takes the Goldman test. Like,
yes.
Is that how it's worked? How does it work?
I would assume that is how the Goldman standard is operated, is you just take the Goldman test, much like the Colts had me take a personality test. It was like a multiple choice personality test or whatever. Then you also have the Wonderlic, obviously, which I think is problem solving more so than anything else, and critical thinking and reactions. Now, I do believe the Wonderlic also proves whether or not somebody's a good reader. Or not. If you see somebody low, it's not like they probably aren't that great of a reader. If you see somebody very high, it's like that doesn't necessarily mean they're the smartest people. They just are the quickest and everything like that. So I have seen different tests offered up, and I actually took a couple different tests. I've never seen the Goldman standard. I wonder how many teams are giving out that test and who is potentially hoarding the information that Justin Fields had the highest score, because then you also have to dive into that as well.
I just found an article as well that Baker Mayfield actually earned second highest score ever in 2018 for this test.
Wow.
What was his score?
Did not say, but it was confirmed by
at the time he was the second highest?
2018. Yeah.
So now he's the third highest.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he didn't even talk about Baker Mayfield when he was talking about the test.
Yeah, how'd Sanchez get these in there?
Yeah.
How does Sanchez know?
He knows.
Sanchez potentially, he's part dog.
He is the test, dude.
He's in the lab.
You think he's in the Goldman stand?
The Goldman is the Goldman.
The Goldman is the Goldman. T&E. T&E. Let's go to, what are your thoughts on Justin Fields? All that. Did you see what was happening while you were on vacation with the...
statue,
Greek god,
yeah, the specimen that is Brady Quinn. Is that tough? Is that tough though? Because I think I've seen him one time, and it's just like, oh, there's an absolutely shredded robot-looking, attractive man who seems to work harder than everybody else as well. Was it intimidating over there? Or is it, oh, we're family?
No, it's not. We're family, man. He's great
at
throwing the frisbee, too. We threw the frisbee in some really probably 40-mile-an-hour winds on the beach. It was good.
Does he bully you?
Does he bully me? No. How would he? What would he bully me about?
Eggs.
Wow. Throw the frisbee, dude.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's probably throwing darts out there.
Whatever he says, I do.
Run a go-route, bro.
Go 200 yards out, I'm going to throw the frisbee. Okay, how fast do you want me to run? Like, that's what it is.
Oh, it's like, we'll time you? That's awesome.
Like my kids. Like, I tell my kids, hey, I'll time you, man, if you run down and grab me on a drink. Okay, cool, Dad, hold on. One, two, and I got to yell as he's running down the steps.
A lot of people are not happy, though, with Orlovsky's source telling him or Orlovsky relaying the information that his source told him. And that was a big conversation. If he does have a photographic memory, I mean, maybe you got to think about how those that could just all be complete, which we assume at this point, by the way, it is with how everybody said it. But if this dude has a photographic fucking memory, how is that not out everywhere? Yeah. How is that not something that we everybody on earth knows? And I would assume that if you score that high on this thing, if it's called a recall and like memory test, basically, and you get the highest of all time, I would assume you have a very impressive memory. Yeah. Like, how do we not know that, AJ? I'm asking the same way. How did we not know that already, you know?
Where are the people, like, I don't know who Justin Fields' agent is. Like, can they somehow, that's something that an agent can do that to help somebody. I guess if you would push that to Schefter, Rappaport, you push it to these guys, and they put it out, or you. Like, what you did today, you definitely have helped Fields.
I would hope so. I mean, by the way, big Fields fan, always been confused in this whole thing.
Well, also, though, but also they'll say you helped him after he was somewhat hurt on the show.
And by the way, listen, people say stupid stuff on this show all the time. Am I supposed to? He was telling me what somebody told him.
Yeah, he prefaced.
I mean, what am I supposed to?
Come on.
People were coming after me. That Buckeye Wire, probably your fucking neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just complete libel in that headline that was written about me over there in Ohio. Now, I know that guy would answer, OH!
I saw that. You were pretty upset, weren't you?
I didn't like that. It was complete bullshit. And I know the cult you guys have over there is going to come after me. It's like, I've already done this dance before. Urban Meyer attacked me. I have to attack him back. Ohio State fans attacked me. I'm like, listen, all right, I fucking get it. I appreciate and understand it. Then this guy's just trying to drop me right into the thing. Pat McAfee does that. Fuck you, pal. Okay? I have a lot of respect for OH.
I thought you handled it very well. I really do.
Hasn't learned.
What are you saying, right? Dude?
AJ, you haven't learned yet.
Just say I.O., dude.
No, man, can't do it.
Come
not
on.
You.
See,
you know
this
that.
Is a problem.
Don't be a horse's ass, dude. Come on.
Don't be. See, you're the classic bully, Pat. That's the thing. I'm not.
No, I'm not. What? No, I'm not. Brady Quinn made you throw a frisbee in 40-mile-an-hour winds. Yeah. Okay? There's no way in fucking hell you wanted to do that. You got bullied by him. Don't try to put this on me.
We interrupt this conversation to tell you that if you have 30 free minutes, you never have to worry about a break-in at home ever again. That's how quick and easy it is to set up a security system from SimpliSafe. It's the kind of thing that is so easy to do, you can do it during a Netflix binge, watching the game, or listening to a certain podcast. Listen, all of us around here have a SimpliSafe setup, and we all love it because it's high-quality equipment. And it gives you great camera footage. You don't have to worry about any of that 480p, can't see anything that's going on. We pull clips from SimpliSafe all the time, and the setup is super easy. Don't need to worry about a sales guy or a technician coming in to install it. It's super simple, and that's why we love it. And also, SimpliSafe is incredibly easy to customize for your home. Just go to simplisafe.com/McAfee. You can easily choose the exact sensors you need or get help from one of their experts. It'll get to your house in about a week, which means by this time next week, you and your whole family can go to bed knowing your home is being guarded. It's easy to assume everyone in your house already feels safe, but they might not, and it's worthwhile to talk about it. And SimpliSafe is a small, easy step to make sure everyone feels safe at home. So go to simplisafe.com/McAfee today to customize your system and get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose. That's simplisafe.com/McAfee. Back to the show.
The Aaron Rodgers situation last night captivated the world. To talk to us about it, ladies and gentlemen, back off of a vacation, AJ Hawk.
Yeah!
What's on? You look good. How are you, bub?
doing well. Did,
God!
Swimming pool.
This guy stinks. You back in a
swimming pool?
Oh, he's got the microphone still on
in
vacation.
Water, dude.
Hey, we're taking a six-day vacation, okay? What are you doing? You
must be nice.
Microphone.
No, must be nice.
Hello. You got me?
Yeah!
There you go. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, AJ Hawk. Damn, how was the vacation, man?
It's good to be here. The best thing is whenever anything technically goes wrong, I don't really know from my side what's happened. I just hear the boys start chirping instantly. So I got to scramble and fix my tech issues.
Yeah, well, you sounded terrible. And it's okay. We kind of stumbled out the gates here. But a man that did not stumble out any gates, AJ. By the way, we hope you had a fantastic
day.
Well earned, well deserved. We hope you enjoyed the hell out of it. We appreciate you coming back here. Last night, did you get a chance to watch Aaron Rodgers be the host of Jeopardy? And did you get a chance to hear him yesterday say, I would love to be the host of Jeopardy? And then did you see the math equation he did on his missus' Instagram Live that he then put on his Instagram where he said, 46 days of shooting, I could do that in the offseason for a year, no problem at all. Did you see all this? And what are your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers being the future full-time host of Jeopardy? Because if the next week in 4 days is anything like the first night, he fucking crushed it, AJ.
Yeah, I think he did great day one, like first episode out the gates. He did great. He's only going to get better because I'm sure he got more and more comfortable every single episode he shot. But watching him on that IG Live do the math and figure out, like, yeah, I could definitely do this with my professional in football and I can make it work. It got me thinking, don't you think the people at Jeopardy, it's CBS, right?
NBC, Fox, CBS, it's everywhere. They make all the money.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they absolutely make all the money. So they have to be thinking when they're thinking of their next guest. We know it's not going to be what Dr. Oz. He doesn't get people talking, does he? Like he's not getting people riled up.
And Jeopardy's he does different things, but as a Jeopardy watcher, he was not fantastic. None of the guest hosts, by the way, other than the executive producer, I was like, pretty good. Everybody else, I was like, all right, I'm not sure this is. Aaron felt like the real thing, but you're talking about the people at Jeopardy having a thought like, oh, we only have to work maybe just half a year.
No. I'm saying, so I would imagine Aaron is out there saying, yes, I would love to do this full time. I could do this for the rest of my life. I think the people that are making decisions at Jeopardy, like they have to be taking that pretty serious because Jeopardy's fans, think about it. They're older. Don't you think it's more of an older crowd that's grown with it? How do you keep getting younger and younger demos? How do you get them to tune in? Maybe Aaron is kind of that bridge to bring even younger fans along with the older people that already watch it.
We talked about the speculation for Aaron guest hosting yesterday and today. It was bigger than anybody else. By the way, he didn't do a lot of promotion. He did not do a lot of promotion at all, which is kind of Aaron's thing. Like everything he does gets reported on because he doesn't do a lot of stuff unless it's all speculative or anything like that. There was a lot of hype around it. And then, by the way, when he comes out and says, I would want to do this full time, we immediately like, oh, he fucking crushed it then. Like he's not going to come out and say, I want to do something full time if he stunk. So I was excited to watch it. The issue is, you know, like, I don't know. Man, I think it'd be difficult because the Jeopardy people would probably say, like, well, we have to keep it timely and topical, though, because who knows what's going to happen in the world or whatever. But, man, could he not do that on a – now, listen, Packers fans aren't going to like to hear it. If there's any – could he not on a Tuesday? Could he not on a Tuesday? I mean, the show he does with us is an hour long, obviously. It's nothing compared to what this would take with film study and everything like that. But, I mean, is there a way where he could potentially do that year-round? I hope the world wants to see it. I think if he wins an MVP in one season, a Super Bowl, and he's hosting Jeopardy year-round, are you fucking kidding me, AJ? Imagine that, dude.
Hey, why can't he do it on Tuesday? There's been other guys. Josh Norman worked for Fox. He did stuff on Tuesdays for them, and then he would go in studio like during his bye week. There's players that have been current NFL players and starters that have had like TV gigs and network gigs. It's usually tied to like a sport, but this would be a little different. But why not? They can make it work.
And by the way, they could just do it, just tape this week's episodes and just do it weekly. It turns into like a weekly job during the season. And then off season, you can go back to the every 2 weeks or whatever, because then you shorten the amount of time. And now the Packers fans are not going to like to hear this. If his play drops at all, everybody be like, well, he's hosting fucking Jeopardy on Tuesdays, blah, blah, blah. And who knows if he'd be able to do it. But man, I hope so. I hope it happens. I thought he was really good. He seemed like he enjoyed the hell out of it too. If you heard him talk about it yesterday, you know?
Yeah, if you hear him talk about it, when he says like he thinks he killed it and everything, you know that not only did he kill it, yes, but he actually enjoyed it and he wants to do more. Like, I'm sure he got done with it. He's like, all right, cool. Now I feel like I'm just starting to get into my groove. Let's do this some more.
Did you hear us ask him about his hair? Did you hear that whole thing? So, because we saw pictures of him come out, you know, and you,
blasted him.
Buried him.
The judgment out of you of the photos that were, it was bad.
They looked Photoshopped to me.
Well, they weren't.
Would you like to potentially say anything about the terrible things you said about the photos that were leaked early?
No, the one photo I saw that looked Photoshopped, I'm hoping that they picked that out for him, and he didn't have a choice.
Mm. Say sorry.
Why'd you say that, though?
Because it looked like it's not like something someone his age would wear. Maybe he's much older than that.
So you think their wardrobe department, you think the wardrobe department was potentially, you know, picking out something that wasn't necessarily. No. You don't think Aaron was picking out his suits there?
I mean, maybe he was. I don't know. Maybe he was just too dialed in and focused on the game and didn't care about what he wore.
Oh, so you're saying you hated how he looked.
No, I didn't. But picture, it's great. It's a great suit. It looks good.
As soon as I saw him yesterday and I took a picture and I posted it, the amount of people that were like, just, oh, is that the most handsome fucking guy on earth right there? And now you're just like, dressed like a suit. I guess.
I'm not trying to make it a thing that I'm killing it what he is wearing.
By the way, this isn't our thing. This is your thing. Yeah, okay, this isn't our thing.
Not my thing. Not my thing. But I did pick Baylor to win, so I probably won the NCAA tournament that I was in with you.
All right, okay. Are you trying to pivot away from that conversation? I respect it. We would want to see Aaron host Jeopardy, though, is what we're saying. Mm-hmm. Football yesterday, he's still in the same place he was last year.
Even if he doesn't do it while he's currently playing, won't it still be there when he's done?
I don't know. See, that's one of those things where you don't know if it'll be open, right, at some point. Like, you don't – that's one of those – I think there's only a few of those jobs where you don't know where it'll be open. You know, I just
– someone would just have to come and run away with it and be like, okay, yeah, this is our next host. Yeah, Aaron, whenever he is done playing, I don't know if this person is still doing as well.
LeVar
maybe Burton. You're not.
Everybody's saying LeVar Burton, the guy from Reading Rainbow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're saying –
I'm sure he's – I bet he's great. I'm sure he is.
Yeah,
has he done it yet? Though I didn't watch until Aaron.
AJ, what did you do? Did you take a cynical vacation? Like, did you get baptized in pessimism whenever you were on?
What do you mean? I'm dead serious. LeVar Burton, I grew up with that dude in Reading Rainbow. Has he hosted yet? Have we seen him yet?
We have not.
No.
Okay. Then I think he's going to do very well. Now,
okay, dude.
We think
I don't know what you're thinking.
You're kidding.
We think LeVar is going to do fantastic as well. Just if Aaron's going to get that gig, I'm not sure it's one of those ones you can kick down the road 3-4 years. I don't know if that it'll be open then, but I am enjoying this 2-week thing, and I like the fact that he found something he's in love with, because even if it doesn't work out, now he knows he can host a show, mm-hmm. which is good news for everybody. That's not an easy show to host, you know?
Absolutely not. Did he say how long it took to film each episode?
He did say there was a couple rethrows and things like that, I guess. But we did not get an exact time. I think because there's a writer's meeting in the morning. I assume that's when the questions are gone through and everything like that. But he has said there was a couple extra throws. I don't know how long the day was, though.
And he did say that as he did it a couple more times, there were fewer and fewer of those. So I assume by the end it was kind of, you know, just a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
Hey, his hair did look good. He did not. We commented about how there was probably a conversation about whether or not he cuts his hair, right? And is this a potential situation that would make you cut your hair when you're this invested in growing your hair? It takes a long time to grow your hair. There are a lot of stages you have to get through to get to a stage of length of hair that is acceptable to be seen in public mm-hmm. with. There is a lot of different situations when growing your hair out where it is a tough thing to deal with. Aaron talked yesterday about how they were able to figure out something he was able to do that looked good. I think the world has agreed on that, but it is something I assume he was kind of talking like, do you want to cut your hair for this potentially?
Maybe it's a negotiating tactic for him with the Jeopardy people, like knowing like, hey, we want to offer you the full-time gig if you're going to clean it up a little bit. And he's like, I don't know, you throw an extra $4 million a year at me, maybe.
Hey, I'll shave, by the way. I normally have scruff, but if a clean shave is a prereq, he said, for the full-time job, I will shave for that.
That's right.
Man, I like it. He's openly, you know, he's doing what teams do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just dropping seeds.
That's right.
I would love to be. And if I have to shave, I will shave.
So be it.
Whatever you need. Got 46 days. We can figure that out. Just go ahead and let that go out there. Now, mm-hmm. Jeopardy people can release their Jeopardy executives were rather impressed with Aaron Rodgers' mm-hmm. first night, they say. Now, oh, okay. Here we go. Are we getting a little bit of a business relationship being built over the media mm-hmm. right now? Oh. Is this happening? Is this already here? Are we church? Steeple, all the people. Are yeah. we here right now with Aaron in Jeopardy? Is this going to happen?
I think it will eventually. Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah,
it's too loud right now, mm-hmm. right? Unless it just dies off.
Especially because, you know, this guy's team's running him out of town. So you might as well yeah. have something else You're on right. the other side.
Yeah, trading up to draft quarterbacks uh-huh. and things like that, not renegotiating.
Not helping them.
Yet, by the way, not renegotiating any contracts or anything. Only 1 year left of guaranteed money. You're right. Mm-hmm. Maybe it is something like that.
Could have got Will Fuller. Didn't want to, you know, hey, Aaron will be fine. Easily could have helped him out with a few more weapons. Decided not to.
They're going
to
get something worked out, and guess what? We're going to give him plenty of leeway.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, listen, is that right?
Aaron, you want to go to fucking L.A. for 2 days during the week? Host Jeopardy, do it.
As long as it's not Sunday.
Yeah, as long as it's not Sunday, you're back in Green Bay Sunday. Hell, if you want to go to, you know, California right after the game on Sunday, knock out a couple episodes, you do it. Go ahead.
45
you do,
minutes,
you do,
by the way.
You do what's going to make you happy.
An episode.
Mark Murphy.
To shoot?
To shoot it, yeah.
Okay, 45 minutes at Zito. Did he say that in an interview?
No, just it was Al Trebek, like, tale of his day, and I just looked up, like,
so that's Trebek, though, so. Oh. So let's assume that's at least tripled.
Yeah, because his were probably pretty tight, pretty efficient. Yeah. I'm sure.
As Aaron's going on here in these 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not as many, I mean, at least in that last episode, not as many gotcha words where it was, you know, you had to redo it just in case it was a tough
one. There was a good one where he said, I did not know that answer either, which felt pretty good. You know, that felt pretty good. He had a couple
Didn't you think I thought the casting did well, too, the three contestants. Like, they, I don't know, they seem to have the right personalities, too, for that.
Well, that guy who wanted to kick the field goal.
Scott.
It was, what a moment there. Yeah. You know, like, that sets off an automatic viral moment in sports. Aaron's in a bad position there, by the way. Yeah. He's in a terrible position there. Imagine if he goes, not me. If he just said something yeah. where it would have got a pop from the audience and it would have got a pop from – and then he would have had to walk into a buzzsaw the next day with Aaron Rodgers demolishes Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. In, you know what I mean? There was a lot of – that could have gone wrong there.
Yeah, it definitely could have. I mean, for the Jeopardy people, what an absolute goldmine to have in your first episode. You can float that out there before the episode airs. Like, yeah, it all seems to be lining up perfectly for everyone involved, really.
Now, I will say, watching that video before the airing of the show did kind of know what was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I tried to stay off, so that didn't happen. So I didn't see it until...
I think a lot of casual people that don't watch Jeopardy maybe didn't just automatically look at all the scores were in Final Jeopardy, who can get where, and then just immediately... As soon as I saw that video, I was like, oh, new champion. All right, here we go. We got a new champ. All right, good news. Let's go to Landon in Texas, shall we? AJ, what's going on, Landon?
Oh, shit. Did his phone just explode?
He hung up for
just
sure.
Hit a power transformer.
AJ, where'd you go on vacation to?
Down to Florida. I got to see my brother-in-law and his kids and hang out there for a few days.
You saw Brady Quinn?
Whoa. Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. How was he?
He's awesome. Brady, like, set our itineraries each day. He has three little girls, and it was great. We got to go have some fun.
What did he get on the Goldman test?
Hey, yeah. What did he get on the Goldman test? I don't know if you learned about that. We just learned about that recently. But is Brady Quinn the most diligent human of all time? Feels like that from looking outside in.
Yeah, he might be, especially when it comes to kids. Yeah, like dinner. He schedules dinner at 5 o'clock because we know kids go crazy and they got to get to bed. Like, Brady thinks everything out. And then I go in his garage. We didn't stay with him. We stayed in the hotel, but we were with him every day. He's got his infrared sauna set up right next to his cold tub in his garage weight room. Like, he has everything all ready to go down there.
By the way, he's like a sculpture, right?
Yeah.
Brady Quinn is a sculpture.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an impressive looking human.
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume all those things to be accurate, what you just said, by the way. I can't believe you don't have a plunge cold pool in your house.
No, I just gotta take cold showers, man. Like the rest of the people.
Oh, you do. Hey. You do the Wim Hof.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I don't do those movements. But I'll end my
I think that's what the Wim Hof is. If I followed enough influencers that have done the Wim Hof method, I do believe you have to punch to the side, and then you kind of pick up the vibes, Then you feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. And then you... And then you just walk into the coldest water of all time and you're fucking chilling out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do it. I am so impressed with that human. But that's what you do. That he says take cold showers every day. It's better for your Mentos, better for your chickens, better for everything. You do that every day. Is that real?
I mean, mostly. I at least end my shower in cold. I don't stand there for a long time with it freezing.
So I'll wash my face with cold water because Pharrell said that's what he does. And he looks younger now than he did whenever he debuted. So he said he washes his face with cold water. So we have a double-headed shower. Ooh. So the one is just blasting cold. But I'm so soft when it comes to cold water. I'm standing in the hot shower while the face is getting the cold water.
It's efficient.
And then I walk out. So I'm doing Pharrell's little method. Plus steaming a little bit on the way out, but the hot water's still there. And then I'm not good with the cold water. I am not good with the cold water. I wish I was. I know it's so good for you. I used to do it after, you know, like training camp, whenever I had to kick back-to-back-to-back days or whatever, I'd always get in a cold tub at night. But, man, it was a dreadful situation every time I went in there. Happy I don't have to do it anymore.
Yeah, it is pretty dreadful. I didn't get in Brady's cold tub, but he asked me multiple times, you want to come get in the cold tub? Right. I'm like, right here in the middle of the day when everyone's just running around, you want me to go take a quick 10-minute plunge? What are you going to, I don't know.
Hey, you're going to flush them out. You're going to flush them out. What is it? You're flushing out the lactic acid.
Yeah.
You got to flush it out there. Was Florida open, though, or were you just hanging out mostly with the sculpture and his family?
We were just with his family and around to his little, like, spots that he goes to. But it's pretty much... I mean, I don't want to say open. People were in masks and we were inside, and yeah, it wasn't like the Wild West like people make it out to be.
Yesterday, dude, Texas, 40,000.
Man. Yeah.
Ranger Stadium, I don't know what it's called. I don't know who has the naming rights of it. Packed out. Looked like you were watching a movie of what it was supposed to be like back in the day when baseball was at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
We have a video. It's from Sam Gannon.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Gannon, at Sam Gannon 87. This is from yesterday, packed park, first full attended stadium since Uncle COVID's release on America, where it ran wild, brother.
Mm-hmm.
We had seen clips from Australia and New Zealand where stadiums were getting filled up in certain places. We had seen stadiums partially filled just yesterday in the same world we're all living in right now, in the same country we're all living in right now, down in Texas, packed stadium. Now we all anxiously await to see whether or not they all die or not.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope that they don't. This is a big sign for what America is potentially going to be here over the next couple months. Good luck to everybody down there. I'm excited you guys went to that game. I would have never, but I'm excited you guys did. That was a pretty cool thing to see, to be honest.
But didn't you? I saw something where either the owner or GM said that's probably the last sellout they're going to have. They're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah, a lot of people are buying. Oh, they're not doing it because of protocols. I was thinking a lot of people were just going to that game so they could say they were a part of the first fully attended game post-COVID or whatever in the United States. I assume it was like, you know, it was like a memory, a nostalgia ticket was also probably going off as opposed to just the Ranger game. But are you saying that they're not deciding? Gumpy has an update.
It was half empty by the fourth inning, and they were booing the Rangers.
Yeah, the team stinks, so that is really going to hurt.
So the only people that weren't happy about yesterday down in Texas that were in that stadium were the Rangers.
Yes.
Okay, because they were getting booed out of their own stadium.
It was full.
Hey, by the way, that's what happens with full stadiums, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The energy is going to be back, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit more adrenaline. Maybe you're going to be – but you're also potentially going to get broken by some stooge that paid some money for a ticket.
Yeah.
Whenever he and his buddies, 40,000 deep, all decide to tell you, you fucking suck, dude. And it's just one sound. Sounds like a cow, but it hurts so much. Boom! What an obnoxious sound to have to hear and just – all these people hate me right now. What a moment.
Who threw the first pitch? George W.
I think it was frontline workers, I believe.
That would have been a great comeback.
Definitely wasn't Fauci.
Fauci, you know, maybe, I mean, Fauci's pretty against this stadium down in Texas, yeah. I do believe it. It does feel like if you watch any coverage of this, we're potentially in two very different countries with Texas and Florida and everybody else that's happening. But imagine if Fauci goes back out there, quad masked.
Oh.
Okay.
Shield.
Shield on top, yeah. And he comes out and he fucking just bites one.
Burns one down the middle.
Catcher falls
pop
over.
Of them back. He gives like maybe a Stone Cold Steve Austin double middle finger to the whole. Oh, what a moment that would have been. And then Fouch walks it off.
Uh-huh. Maybe grab your bat. Fouch.
Oh, my God.
Give me some BP.
If you're going to get vaccinated, give me a hell yeah.
Can't thank you enough for choosing to listen to this show. I hope you enjoyed it. Dr. Goldman is the Goldman standard.
It's unbelievable. How did we not know about this?
Never heard of it.
No.
Still don't fully understand if it's worth a fuck.
Me neither. And why haven't Justin Fields' people been pumping this big time if they know about it?
Should have heard about this.
We should have known.
That's what we're trying to do, though. Trying to know about everything all the time, about things we should talk about. All right. We're back tomorrow with a big show. Can't thank you enough. Please be a friend. Tell a friend. Ty, please play some independent music and propel these people into a beautiful Tuesday. Cheers. We'll see you manana. We'll be right back.